morning, everyone. I'm Renee Bouchel. And wasn't that some great live music from Bill's Little Big Band? On today's show, we will also have our long-running feature written by Stan Freberg, A Christmas Dragnet. And we'll be visiting the wonderful Midwestern town of Wistful Vista and the home of Fibber McGee and Molly. Joining Fibber and Molly will be that little girl Teeny, Mrs. Uppington, Harlow Wilcox, and Doc Gamble. We are also very excited to have a special visit from Mrs. Claus, who will delight you with how she met the bearded Nicholas. This original Mrs. Claus reading is written and performed by Vicki Dumais. Oh, once again, here's Peyton Spencer.
Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan, where it's not just about results, but it's about you, the client, on the web at addmlaw.com. And also from the not-for-profit Brown Ulster Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes, Wisconsin, on the web at brownulsterfoundation.org. The Cornerstone Shop and Gallery, located in the heart of downtown Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The Cornerstone Shop and Gallery is a 10,000 square foot lifestyle store designed to spark your creativity and inspire your imagination. We are so pleased that the Cornerstone is our newest program sponsor. They are on the web at cornerstoneshop.com, and shop is spelled S-H-O-P-P-E. And also, Lake Lawn Resort, the ultimate destination for year-round leisure getaways, family retreats, weddings, and group meetings, on the web at lakelawnresort.com. This is Peyton Spencer, leaving you for now, as I turn you over to one of our very special guest stars, Mr. Art Dexter.
Good morning. It's another wonderful day here in Wisconsin, and I'm so lucky to be here with all of you. And you know what? Before we launch into our Christmas Dragnet feature and venture down to Wistful Vista to see what's happening with Fibber McGee and Molly, I think it's time for those sweet Adelines, those wonderful ladies from the Riverport Chorus, to sing I've Got a Crush on You.
Listen to me, baby, while I tell you true, I've got a crush on you, sweet pie. All the day and night time, hear me sigh. I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you care for a cunning cottage we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I've got a crush, my baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Riverport Chorus. So before we take a trip out to Los Angeles via Stan Freberg's great satire called A Christmas Dragnet, let's give a listen to Bill's Little Big Band as they play the well-known tune Frosty the Snowman.
Thank you.
and his little big band. Bill, your band, as always, sounds simply marvelous. Thanks, Bill. And we will hear from Bill's little big band a bit later. Stan Freberg, who passed away in April of 2015, said this at the age of 72. When asked if he intended to retire, he said, "No, I intend to speed up so I don't get run over by a bread truck." Now, that's pretty darn good advice. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, here is Stan Freberg's great parody of the Jack Webb hit TV series Dragnet. It's called A Christmas Dragnet.
My name is Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner's Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve, they brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704, not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m., I was working the holiday watch out of Homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I came down. You too, Frank?
Oh, I always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out on when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Well, why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings. Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts. All the trimmings, you know. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of them carrot sticks with relish. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Oh, Mrs. always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh, let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh, you notice that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide, Wednesday.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing in a guy in a 409-6325-096704. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, that right?
Yeah!
Says here you didn't believe in Santa Claus. Hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshots.
Any fingerprints?
Uh-uh, no latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he said that just to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, and I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing! And you know something else?
What's that?
I'm gonna get up and walk right out of this room, because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Huh. Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping all down the bunny trail.
I took Grudge over to the helicopter. Got in. Flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurling in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums, but you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job? Get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. He walked over to Santa's workshop, rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie. What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh, that figures.
What a waste of time!
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
And scallions. Some folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man. Been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance this guy can still...
Get the presents? Oh, sure, he gets them all the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it! I don't want to hear it!
Come on, Mr. Brownie, what's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The brownie saw us at the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in.
Who's that?
Santa Claus.
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus and Columbus.
How about Cincinnati and Cleveland and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still hadn't made up my mind about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know who can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, it's about the size of it.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tristan Eves, welcoming you into this next segment of today's Stage Door Canteen Holiday Show. As many of you know, we've been performing the Christmas Dragnet feature at least 5 times over the past 14 years. And you want to know something? It never gets old. It only gets better. Before we present a really great version of Fibber McGee and Molly, our co-executive producer and co-writer, Steve Brown, would like to share this well-known Mel Torme tune.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe helps to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is going to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this special thing to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this special thing to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Steve. Very well done. You know, I was just handed a note from Bill McGee. It says, and I'll read exactly as written, "I do think it would be very nice if you let the Dixie Dudes perform one of their famous songs. They're getting a bit antsy." And you know how Tom O'Brien gets when the dudes are just sitting around and not performing for such a great audience here at Lake Lawn Resort. Well, Bill McGee, and I am always pleased to say this, ladies and gentlemen, please give a big welcoming round of applause for the Dixie Dudes. Harlow Wilcox, Fibber and Molly's good friend, comes out here on stage at the Stage Door Canteen at Lake Lawn Resort. Here, once again, are the ladies from the Last Riverport Chorus to sing At Last.
I was never spellbound by a starry sky. What is there to there came a midnight and the world was new.
I'm Harlow Wilcox. Not to do a commercial for my friends over in Racine, you know, the good friends at S.C. Johnson and Company, but rather, let me introduce you to some other very good friends of mine. You know, there are certain people who simply won't admit that nature does anything right. They are the ones who gild cattails, who write, "Whose little tootsie are you?" with big pieces of chalk on the sidewalk and clip poodle dogs to look like anemic lions. Here's one of those persons now, as we meet Fibberiggy and Molly.
Hey, Fred, how about you charge me to paint this Christmas tree white?
Why do you want it white, Fred, McGee?
What do you mean, why do I want it white? You got 100 trees in this lot that you've painted white.
Yeah, and I think they're horrible, but some people like them that way.
Never mind the artistic comment, Fred. How much?
$10.
$10? To spray a little white paint on this half-pint tree? Who do you think you are, Rembrandt? Look, maybe you didn't understand. I want this tree painted white, not gold-plated.
$10.
You're a pirate, and I'll bet you've made $200 already today.
You're a cheapskate, and I've made $340.
You're a robber, and you want to sell half interest in this lot?
You're a stoop, and I wouldn't sell my own mother a half interest.
You're a low-down, dirty... Oh, the dirty swindler. $10 to spray a little tree like that white? The rat! Cheating people right and left, making $400 a day. The chiseler. I don't know whether to report him to the OPA or make him a better offer for half that interest. Why, the low-down...
What's the matter, McGee? This time...
Oh, that guy, Fred Corrigan, the one who runs the Christmas tree lot down at 14th and Oak, that dirty pine broker, wanted to charge me $10 to paint our Christmas tree white.
Oh, that does seem a little high, dearie. But think of the work there is to it, putting all those needles back on after they paint them.
They don't take the needles off. They just spray the tree. Wish, wish, wish. That's all there is to it.
Well, if wishing will make it so... Why don't you do it yourself?
Well, if it's a $10 job, I can't afford to pay myself that much. Besides, I haven't got a paint spray. Hey, haven't we got a paint spray attachment on the vacuum cleaner? My gosh, I can have that tree painted white before you can say, "Ew, doesn't that look awful?"
Oh, now, McGee, please. I realize we need the house painted, but not on the inside. Let's leave the tree green.
Oh, you'll love a white one, Snooky. It's the modern thing. Nobody uses green trees anymore. They're outmoded.
Oh, you don't say. Well, tell me, Salvador, what color snow are people using this year? Chartreuse?
No kidding, Molly. White Christmas trees. They're all the rage.
They must be. They throw me into a rage. Look, sweetheart, just put the tree up and trim it. I love a green Christmas tree. Where did you leave the tree anyway, dearie?
Oh, it's out on the front porch.
Come in. Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. And how are you today, Pantry Punch?
Fine, Jumbo. You out spreading a little cheer, telling your patients that you're going to retire?
Oh, he's not going to retire for years yet. Are you, Doctor?
My dear, I will retire on that far distant day. When I can write a personal check for $400 and not have the hired help at the Fourth National Bank burst into hysterical laughter.
Oh, go on, you old miser. You got that much buried under a loose brick in the fireplace right now. Trouble with you is you got more affection for a dollar than my wife has for a pound of butter. And that's the love match of the year, Fatso.
Oh, you have no right to say that, McGee. Dr. Gamble does more private charity work than anybody in town.
Certainly. I'm a very noble character. When I walk down the streets, flowers spring into bloom, birds burst into song, and taxicabs honk twice before they try to kill me. Well, I've got to run along. This is my busy season, you know.
I suppose those children keep you pretty busy around Christmas time, Doctor.
No, it's the so-called grown-ups, my dear. This is the silly season. When 200-pound men start climbing 49-cent stepladders, to wire dime store angels to the top of a $3 Christmas tree and wind up in a $500 plaster cast. Pennywise and compound fracture foolish.
Say, don't you want to stick around and watch me trim our Christmas tree, Doc? I'm painting it white.
You don't have to do that, Skipwit. When I put my gift for you under it, it'll turn white. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear once again from the Dixie Dudes.
All together, sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. We're walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. Thank you, lady. In the meadow we will build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. You can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Those were the Dixie Dudes. Let's get back to our story, especially since Mrs. Abigail Uppington is walking up the sidewalk to the McGee's front door.
Oh, dear.
What is it, Molly?
Oh, be on your best behavior, McGee. It's Mrs. Uppington.
Hi there, Uppy. Won't you come in and have the house and have a slug of tea?
No, thank you, Mr. McGee. I've been busy all day, and I've been very lonely because Maddie has been gone to the groomer all day. Oh, but Maddie's really a sweet little dog, Abigail. A border collie through and through. I do hope she hasn't missed me too much today, and I also hope they haven't spoiled her. I mean, you know how Maddie can be. Especially when you hold up three fingers and she barks right on cue. Like I said, Mr. McGee, I hope my little girl hasn't been spoiled. By the way, everyone is singing this morning. And I wonder, well, for just a few seconds or so, why haven't you asked me to sing?
Oh, Uppy. The only thing around here that's spoiling is the milk, not Maddie. I left the milk out to put in my coffee this morning. Uppy, did I lose you? Here I was, gonna ask her to sing one of her famous songs.
Hello, folks, what's going on here? Hey, why did Mrs. Uppington leave in such a hurry?
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox. Well, she had to go out and get her little Maddie. Something about not spoiling the little one and three fingers. No singing for her.
Hiya, Junior. Pull up a front step and give yourself a three-point landing. Or is that a three-finger landing? Oh, never mind.
And if you want your Christmas tree painted white, Mr. Wilcox, trot on home and get it.
Thanks for the suggestion, Molly. And before little Teeny rings that doorbell, I think it's time for the golden tones of the Riverport Chorus again. And I think we can expect a white Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, another great song performed by the Riverport Quart Chorus. Let's get back to Fibber McGee as he paints his tree.
Oh, if I ain't the dumbest guy that ever lived. A wise guy, a know-it-all. Can't tell one tree from another. I'm a saphead. I'm brainless, incompetent, ham-handed butterfingers. If I wasn't so stupid, I'd never let me sit here and insult myself either.
Oh, hi, mister. What's the matter, Mr. McGee?
I know that voice. Is that you, Teeny?
Sure is, I betcha. What you sitting there with your head in your hands for, mister? Got a headache? Want me to get you an aspirin? Want me to, huh?
No thanks, sis. Medicine won't touch the kind of headache I got. I just busted my ego in four places.
Gee, I'm sorry, mister, but... Oh, boy, who did that?
Who did what?
Who painted that tree white? Gee, is it ever beautiful.
Yeah, you see, I got a little confused.
You're the nicest man in town, I betcha. You put your Christmas tree right out in the front yard where everybody can share it with you, didn't ya?
Well, I didn't exactly...
Gee, all the kids in the neighborhood are gonna love you for this, mister. Boy, I can hardly wait till you get it all lighted up.
You can't, eh? I says, you can't, eh?
Can't what?
Can't wait to get all the lights on it.
Gee, neither can I. And you know what, mister?
What?
When it's growing in the ground like that, it can't wobble and fall over either. Our Christmas tree at home is always wobbly, sort of like three fingers.
Oh, lots of people make that mistake, sis. They don't stop to think that if they were a tree and got all lit up and then came into a warm room... They'd wobble a little, too, even with all eight fingers and two thumbs.
Oh! Huh?
Oh, skip it, sis. So, you think it looks all right out here in the front yard, eh?
Oh, boy, I'll say. Now all the little children that haven't got Christmas trees can come and see yours, can't they?
Yes, I kind of plan to get a lot of little bags of candy and stuff and let the kids help themselves Christmas Eve. Yeah, I just planned that. You think they'd like that?
Gee, will they ever. And us kids will sing.
Oh, they'll sing what?
You know the song we sing for you every Christmas time. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Would you like to hear it now, mister? Would you, huh?
No, I think I'll pass on that one, because we have Mrs. Claus waiting over here in the wings, ready to read to all of us.
Okay, mister, I gotta go now. Bye, mister.
Art Dexter here again. It's always great when we can all just sit back and enjoy another installment from Fibber McGee and Molly.
And now, as we get towards the end of our holiday show for 2018, what better way to start thinking even more seriously about the upcoming holiday season than to hear from Vicki DeMaine, who will be reading to us all dressed up as Mrs. Claus. But then, you'd know that by looking at your radio.
There are lots of stories written about Santa Claus, but I know you haven't heard this story. Long, long ago, when I was a young woman of about 18 years, I worked for my father in his general store. One day, just before Christmas, a handsome man came in wearing boots as black as coal. He had a twinkle in his eye, his cheeks were rosy, and he had a cherry nose from the cold. He smiled at me, and I have to confess that I was a bit twitter-pated. It was magic. He pulled out his list and checked it twice. Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a dolly, Nellie wants a storybook. She thinks dolls are folly. Ho, ho, ho. My heart sank. I thought he must be buying gifts for his own children. But the list went on and on and on. Well, I gathered up all the toys and gifts, and they created quite a large pile. I tallied up the purchases, and he complimented me on my efficiency. I blushed. I could feel my neck flush all the way up to my red hair. He said, well, I'll just put those in my bag. Although that bag was large, I didn't think that everything was going to fit. But it did. As he settled his account, he told me his name was Nicholas. He had it outside, and what to my wondering eyes should appear but a sleigh pulled by 8 tiny reindeer. I did not see Nicholas again until the end of the new year. He started coming in regularly, buying fabric and buttons and wood and nails, all in very large quantities. Each time we would chat, I baked him cookies and served him hot chocolate. I finally worked up the courage to ask him, what in the world are you doing with all these materials? That's when he told me he had a workshop. He and his staff made toys that he would deliver to boys and girls each Christmas. Last Christmas, he told me, his helpers were ill with the flu, and he didn't have enough toys made. Well, that's why he came to my father's shop. I was so touched by his kindness. I also remember those red cheeks and his poor frozen cherry nose. I decided to make a winter suit to keep him warm on chilly winter days. I selected the warmest fabric we had, lined it with fur, and sewed on white collar and cuffs. I found a black belt to match his coal black boots and made him a matching stocking cap. Oh, I couldn't wait for Christmas so I could give him my present. Mother and father gave me permission to invite him to Christmas Eve dinner. Alas, when I invited him over, he said no. I was crestfallen. I told him that I thought our relationship was moving on to a deeper level. And he said, our relationship is getting deeper. But first, I want you to come on a sleigh ride with me on Christmas Eve. When Nick arrived, it was a cold and snowy night. We sat by the fire, and I insisted that he open my Christmas present before we left. He laughed, ho, ho, ho. This suit is just what I need, and my, oh, my. Isn't it a bright color? It was red. I explained, I chose red because I wanted you to be visible when you go out at night. Well, this is a fine present, said he. I will wear it tonight. He whisked me away to his sleigh and called out, now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. And with that, the reindeer pulled that sleigh like no team had before. We went dashing through the snow, and then we were actually flying. Nick handed me the list, I checked it twice, and then we delivered the gifts to boys and girls who were nice. At the end of the night, Nick was all covered in soot. He'd actually gone down chimneys to deliver the gifts. His last gift was for me. It came in a small box, a ring, and a marriage proposal. And as my name is Mrs. Santa Claus, you know I said yes. It was a magical night. And I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Vicki DeMaine, ladies and gentlemen, as Mrs. Claus, this is Renee Bouchel reminding you that this has been the Stage Door Canteen Holiday Show here on the WGTD Radio Theater, broadcasting live from beautiful Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. Live music was provided by Bill McGee and his little big band, the Dixie Dudes, and the fabulous Riverport Chorus. And of course, our stars were from the 91.1 Players. And oh yes, I'm Renee Bougel.
Thanks, Renee. This is Peyton Spencer again. Our show today was directed by Renee Bouchel, and it was written by Steve Brown and Mike Olstrup. The original Mrs. Claus reading was written and performed by Vicky Dumais. Our chief radio engineer today was Troy McDonald, and Mike Olstrup created our live sound effects. As always, support for the WGTD Radio